Welcome to the City Gospel Movement's podcast. This is a special series sharing the Adaptable Playbook, a framework for success for your evangelism team. Together, we'll explore 11 proven steps that really work for cities across North America who want to raise the temperature of evangelism in their communities. We'll hear from practitioners in these cities, humble leaders who have wrestled faithfully with the challenges these steps address. We hope you leave these conversations encouraged and equipped to own the lostness of your city one step at a time. To learn more about evangelism teams, the Adaptable Playbook, or what God is doing through collaborative evangelism efforts across North America, visit citygospelmovements.org. Today we will hear from Fred Leonard, lead pastor at Mountain View Community Church in Fresno, California, and Duffy Johnson, director of New Festival Cities at Palau. Together, they will share about Step 11, catalyzing large-scale citywide events and outreaches. Citywide catalytic events rapidly mobilize the body of Christ in unity and evangelistic action within your city movement. Long-term strategies, such as a 10-year plan, are essential, and certain efforts require multi-year planning. Consider where large-scale efforts fit best within your strategic plan. What evangelistic activity may require multi-year planning? As your efforts to raise the temperature of evangelism continue to develop in your city, take time to consider larger catalytic efforts and strategies that require a greater investment of time and resources. Let's hear what this looks like in practice as we dive into today's conversation between Fred, Duffy, and Chris.
Well, hey, welcome back to our final episode, or at least our final step in the Adaptable Playbook podcast. We've been going through these different steps of, 11 problems you could solve, 11 questions you could answer that we think would, raise the temperature of evangelism in your city. And this one is kind of a fun one because this is really kind of where the whole conversation started for the Plow organization, certainly, was this idea of big catalytic events. What if we did something huge in our city? And that led to a conversation of, let's do something huge, but then what? What's the ongoing work? What's the ongoing play? And of course, those things are, two sides of the same coin. It's all about raising the temperature of evangelism, helping people in your city find Jesus, find hope, hear the good news. But today we're talking about these big catalytic events, and we've got some great guests here to think through this with us. We're excited to have Fred Leonard join us from Fresno. Fred is pastor of Mountain View Church and has a real heart for the city, a heart for the nations. Duffy Johnson is actually a festival director here at Palau. And Duffy, you're actually kind of the perfect person to be on here. One, because I just enjoy chatting with you and hanging with you, but also you're in that role with Palau where you help people to discern whether or not this makes sense for their city, right? So that's really what we're talking about. So let me just jump into this. The reason we had the two of you jump on the call was, the two of you collaborated on a large catalytic event in Fresno, right? So you guys pulled together people in the city, and I'll let you talk about that a little bit, and developed a vision to do something big that would kind of take the whole church, a God-sized vision for the city. And I'd like to know kind of what came about. I'm going to start with a question for you, Fred, but what was the context in the city of Fresno that kind of led you to a decision point of like, we should do something like this. We ought to pull the trigger on something like this. Fred, where were you? Where were other city leaders? What was the headspace there that got you to that decision?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thanks, Chris. If in hindsight, I would have known I would have got to meet Duffy, then it would have been an easier decision. So that was a highlight for us. we got here in 93 to plant a church, and we gathered, to do that, and it slowly happened. And we were part of a ministerial that met monthly. And in 95, we went to meeting weekly so we could pray for 3 of the 4 weeks, and then we'd do a ministerial on the other one. And, Billy Graham showed up in 2000. We did that. And, I was on the committee kind of on the sides, but I was there. And, the city, it was good. It was good for our city. Like, it's always good to do evangelism. By 2002, a guy named Eli was involved in doing some clusters of pastors meeting across our city. And, by 2010, we had 14 clusters meeting representing Fresno and one in Clovis. And I led the one in Clovis. Our main campus is in Fresno, but in Clovis, because that's where we started. And all of a sudden, you know, things were growing and we were moving forward and trying to do stuff. And a group of us, as pastors, started meeting in 2005, 12 of us, as well as some of the more engaged churches. And we met in a different church every month and just prayed together and shared together. So we had really grown from the 2000 time in terms of city unity and church engagement. And we were thinking, man, we really need to do something on a broader level. And it wasn't like we were going to pick up the phone and call, but when the phone call came from the Palau organization, we're like, you know what, this would be the perfect time for us. We're really trying to pull stuff together. And we had started, like, we were doing 21 days of prayer and fasting in January. And we just had this kind of moment that really was kind of one of those Kairos moments from the Lord, you know? And so when the Palau team showed, we did our festival in March of 17, but when in 16, when they showed up, it was just the perfect moment for us, because at that point, you know, it's hard to know, there was probably 200, 250 churches gathering in cluster meetings. So we really benefited at that moment from the Palau team showing up and saying, we're going to help you guys pull together and do a larger event. And, you know, we were super blessed as a church, because for a year, really it was Levi Park and Duffy who had stayed at our house and show up on a Monday and leave on a Friday. And they had their own rooms. But it was like they became friends of the city. So we felt like we had great relationships in the city, but all of a sudden we had an organization coming in that wasn't a transactional, but a relational event for us, where we ended up with friends from a Palau team giving us the right event that we needed at the right time, because we were looking to do something bigger.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And so that unity is sort of naturally building throughout the city. There's a natural fellowship happening. When you say 200 plus churches represented in fellowship groups or clusters throughout the city, that's a lot. I mean that's a lot of people engaged in prayer over the city. I often think of, you know, in prayer, you're really aligning on mission and vision too. Like you're sort of saying together the things that you're either requesting or seeking clarity from God, or the things that you want God to do, right? The things that you want God to do in your city, in your life, in your family. And so as you have those groups praying together, there's a sense that it's time to move. Duffy, a quick question for you. You go and talk to cities that are kind of in that spot, and they're kind of like, hey, we feel like we ought to do something. And I've had you up to Seattle. You've talked with some leaders up. It's a great meeting. Mm-hmm. And what I found you doing was pumping the brakes. That's what I was like, oh, interesting. Duffy's coming in and in a way pumping the brakes. Not saying it's a bad idea, but just kind of like, what is your role in helping people discern, and how do you kind of feel that out as you go into a city and meet with a guy like Fred, who's saying, look, we've got some real motion, some real momentum happening in the city. What's your discernment process?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Chris. I'm excited to be a part of this conversation. The way we do things at Palau is a little bit different. You know, we don't choose a city. We like to say, you know, we work together to come alongside a church that's already wanting something, you know, that's catalytic, that pulls the whole city together. And so we have some tools in our toolbox. And that's the beauty, you know, when you talk about pumping the brakes, is, you know, the beauty of being an organization that's been around for 60 plus years is we kind of know how to read the tea leaves, if you will. We kind of have our checklists and things that we look at, and we want to make sure that we're ready to go. We're, you know, the whole city has an appetite for it and hungry for it. And if not, maybe it's later, or maybe it's something, you know, a different take on something, or things that build into that, you know. And so that's kind of the unique part about the Palau team, is that we go at the invitation. And so part of that is, you know, those clusters, those leaders kind of work with us to have conversations and seasons of prayer and discernment to say, hey, we do want to do something catalytic that could change, you know, the climate of our city, the status quo of how we do things. You know, one of the cities I'm working in right now is, you know, in the southern states and the Gulf, and They see a lot of hurricanes. And so the only time those churches really talk is when a hurricane comes through and it's like, okay, hey, we need this and that. But, you know, oftentimes those pathways, I call it the roads, there's a lot of trees in the way. And so we help clear and pave those roads so there's better communication for a city so that they're just not siloed on, you know, being watchmen on the wall, but it's a functioning, vibrant city that where Jesus is lifted high and people and churches, leaders are working together, they're friends, and the impact is, you know, something that's not just now, but sustain. We're really leading into more sustainable movements. But that happens because of people being on mission together. So we want to see that. We want to encourage that. Obviously, you know, evangelism being at the heart of that, but there's so many other fruits that are a part of that. So I'm sure we'll get into some of that later in the podcast, but that's probably a short answer is, you know, we want to join the church in what they're doing because God's already at work. You hear it from Fred. And so we have a role to play in being catalytic, having some playbooks and having some guidelines and being adaptable in that as, you know, with a festival plan or whatever you want to call it, an experience or something to that effect. But we want to see it kind of take the water level up and a new way of functioning together as the church of a city. So
that's awesome. What was maybe each of you could speak to this, but you know, as you're coming together, you can't tell other people what to do. You know, Fred is a pastor in Fresno. It's not like you can go tell all the pastors what to do and they'll all do it. There's some sort of thing that, you know, obviously we hope this is the Holy Spirit, right? That's sort of nudging us all, stirring us in such a way that's like, hey, maybe we ought to go, you know, maybe we ought to pull the trigger. I'm curious what that green light was for you, Fred. And then Duffy, I'm curious, just kind of on the flip side, what are some of the red flags if when you go into a city and you're like, oh man, we're not in a good spot here. Like, this is probably not a good time to move. I wonder if you could each, you know, speak to the green light, Fred, speak to the red flag, Duffy.
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris. I think for us, because we were meeting as that group of pastors, which we actually stopped meeting during the Palau prep phase and never regathered because we've shifted our attention into a larger event, and then we just put our energy into the clusters. So we did that for a season, and I think it was preparatory, but it was great. It's like there's things you have to lay down at the same time. Like, you can't just keep adding as a city. And we had come through, as the rest of the country had, a bit of the challenges of 08, 09, and 10 economically. So, you know, I think the question in our city was, you know, even though it was 7 years earlier, late, you know, earlier, you're like, we'd rallied to help smaller churches and we'd done things to help people keep going and stuff like that. But the green light was we had started these 21 days of prayer in 21 different churches, you know, in January. And we had come out of a great season of, you know, meeting together as pastors. And we were really saying, we want the unity that we're experiencing pastorally to become unity within the churches. And we had had some of that in the 21 days. And honestly, since then, it's exponentially grown. You know, there's about 500 people a night during those 21 days during the week and about 800 on the weekend that gather to pray. So it's awesome. So in a sense, we'd be ready for another festival, right? Because you're looking and saying, what are you doing with all the momentum that you're gaining? And for us, the big green light was we'd like to reach people that we're not reaching in ways we aren't reaching through something that's going to attract them. That's different. It was just like the right time for us. But I think the right time is always the right time for evangelism. To be fair, we had a few churches, even some within our core of what we would consider city churches. You know, in the city, they're substantive churches, but they weren't super excited and didn't engage in the same way. And that was fine. Like, if you're waiting for everyone to get on board, we'd probably still be waiting. And I'm not saying they didn't participate, but they didn't participate as a core church, right? And right. That was okay. Like, we said, that's okay. And we love you and we're friends and we do stuff together, but we were okay with that.
kind of agree with Fred. I don't know if there's many reasons to have red flags and not do evangelism, but I think it really comes down. I think it does come down to sometimes timing. If Fred mentioned that the Grahams came through, years past. So if it's a recent thing, then, we don't want to jump on fatigue and, these things are intentional and they do take intentionality and time and energy and effort from key leaders. And so I think the second thing is time. The first thing's timing. Second thing's leadership, making sure we have the right leadership, right churches, and that's both with pastors, but also, marketplace leaders. Our model, for example, leans on locals raising the support to make this thing happen. And so making sure you have a robust leadership team that's willing to see this as an opportunity of a lifetime or at least a generation. Oftentimes, we work with folks who want to make an impact that will live past their generation, past their life, and see the church again thrive and grow. And so that's an encouraging a piece of it. And so I think that's probably the two big things, is just timing, then just having the right leadership. And if it's not in place or it's not a good time, maybe there's a capital campaign and, the next year for them is crossed out, then we'll, plant the ball down the field a little bit and come back around on the next set of downs and reengage in the conversation. But, that's probably why I do this job is I really feel like these things really do make an impact in cities and regions. And so we should always be pushing to doing things together, because I think that's a missing piece from the standard operating procedure of local churches is, often we get our eyes into what God's called us to do. And it's very in front of us, but also to see the big picture of what the city is doing, how we are loving our city together well. I think that's super important to hold that tension and push to do those things really well, because that's what the people who we want to have an impact on, the lost and the least in our city, need to see us united on a united front, loving and caring for people just like Christ calls us to.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, I think what you guys are describing, it's it's really kind of the work of discernment, right? You're really discerning, Lord, what should we do here? What's the next step? What's the next best step? And that implies, that you're discerning that with someone, that there's people with whom you're discerning, that there is a group of people who are considering something, that there is a team that's engaging this. And I know for us, as we're encouraging cities to have evangelism teams, it's almost, we've almost simplified it. It's like, are there a group of people who are just discerning ways to share the good news in your city? Does that group of people exist? And maybe that group of people grows to such a degree, like you said, over 200 churches in different clusters throughout Fresno. Maybe that group of people grows to such a degree, it's like, man, let's do something for the whole city. We think of San Francisco just did this big Explore God initiative where they had events all throughout the city, and they're now looking at doing another kind of full city idea. It's because the city's kind of rolling, So it's like, so let's go big, because we got the firepower to go big. But maybe you're in a situation where you can't go big right now. It's like, well, let's just be faithful with what we've got. Let's discern what that thing is we can do with just a handful of us as we're praying over the city. But as we think through the catalytic event, there's things that a big catalytic event does really well. So I'd love to hear your answer to what those things are, but there's also some things that it just doesn't do, so give some realistic perspective as e-teams are thinking about this in their city. Maybe we ought to start thinking a couple years out. Maybe they're working on a 10-year plan. Maybe they're thinking through what's the next couple of years look like. Maybe we ought to do something big. Give your perspective. What does a big catalytic thing do and not do in the life of the city?
The fruits, I think, that catalytic event does is it brings unity. I think Fresno City Fest had about 300 churches that came together. We had around 45,000 people that were impacted through that proclamation week, and so that's the tenth of the city that participated on some level and heard the gospel. And that doesn't even count, you know, the impact of creating a culture of evangelism in churches. They're being mindful. We did this whole campaign of, you know, we do a prayer card where it's five people. Some people do who's your one or who's your one, but you know, you're praying for people in your life. You're seeing, you know, you're the eyes are open for everyday ordinary believers like me, that God's got you in a place to be his hands and his feet to the people you work with, play with, you know, and, you know, to do life with. And so that's super important to help change the mindset. So I see, you know, raising the level of evangelism in a, you know, number of people who go to church in Fresno, California is probably hundreds of thousands of people. I don't know. It's a good number, I'm sure. And so if they're hearing through these participating churches and the challenge, they're being inspired by stories of people coming to faith. They're being challenged and educated to in ways to how to share their faith. And then there's accountability that, hey, we're doing this together. You know, are you prayerfully considering how God's going to call you to have a spiritual conversation or invite them to something? I think it's very powerful. And, you know, part of our model is that of a season of service. And so we're in the communities. And I know many churches are in the communities every day, single day, but, kind of a groundswell, if you will, of being active and being focused on some areas. And so, hey, we're visible so the outside world sees us. I think what it doesn't do is it doesn't replace the church's role of discipleship and everyday loving and caring for people. That's not the role of a Palau team or, you know, grand team or whatever. As we're a sister, we're a friend, we are, you know, someone who helps raise the arms and brings things together, a neutral convener, if you will. But the people who, you know, are there for all the births and, you know, the marriages and the funerals and all the in-betweens, that's the role of the church and the body and, you know, the raising up of saints and challenging them to send them out to the world. That's the role of the church. And this does not do that. I think it helps that, aids that, but doesn't take the place of it. So that's, I think, an important piece is like, we're not the church, you know, we function with the church.
And let me just jump in and say from that, Duffy, that was really, really evident. So, you know, we expected, you know, evangelism, we expected the water level of evangelism to go up and it did. And churches and people got excited. They had friends, they had family. This is the kind of event you can invite people to. It doesn't matter how big or small your church is, like you're inviting people to an event and they're your friends and they're going to hear about Jesus and it's going to be powerful. And so that was awesome. And everything is like excellent, right? So that happened. We expected there to be greater unity among churches, among pastors and in the city. And that happened. And we were really excited about that. So we had those expectations, but what Duffy just said at the end there was a critical piece. Like we're not coming into the, you know, kind of like take care of the, you know, the seed that's been sprouted and come up. Right. So we were given a very clear responsibility, for discipleship. Like it's a better term than follow-up. We were given a responsibility from the Palau team for discipleship, which if we took that seriously, then we actually saw great benefits and blessings from that. Because you know, as a leader, you can't just say, hey, let's disciple people. You need to actually equip your people for evangelism. You need to call them into unity, but you also need to equip them for discipleship. So, I mean, that's something that's probably not talked about enough, but one of the great results is, you know, you got to make sure you got life groups, small groups, koinonia groups, whatever you call them. You got to have those ready. You got to have one-on-one stuff ready. You got to be ready to do the work of the kingdom. So the Palau team doesn't come in and say, you know, evangelism is the greatest thing and we get them saved and hope, well, see what happens. You know, we were challenged across the board in that. And we had a city coordinator that was part of the team that they had sent in, Jeff. And so we had the tools and the opportunity and the encouragement to do that. And so that wasn't like, hey, the big expectation on the front end, but it was a great fruit on the back end.
Yeah. Well said. I think there's this false dichotomy of like, well, should we do something catalytic or be the ongoing presence of the church? And it's like, do we just get to pick one of those things? You know, like, do we just get to do one of those things? It's just this, this idea that, well, no, you do a family vacation and you're also a family all year, like do something together. Like that idea of thinking in terms of catalytic, what's the catalytic move right now in our city is something an E-team should be considering, right? It's something that you should be thinking about all the time. What's the action we can take? What's that faithful action? we can discern to take together. You know, it's a lot of work, right? I mean, I remember we were just reading in our little Bible study, Nehemiah, and, you know, he builds the wall in 52 days, but for a big chunk of that time, they're like holding a sword in one hand and building with the other hand because they're in a dangerous situation. There's people who are trying to corrupt their situation. There's attacks, there's rumors of attacks. And it's like, how long do you do that? You know, like that seems very stressful. That seems very difficult. What's the work look like for this big catalytic thing? And also kind of what's the fruit in terms of like, you know, if I'm building the wall next to Duffy for 52 days, we're probably good friends, you know, which is part of why we wanted the two of you on this call. But what's the value in sort of making something like that happen together? And then give us a sense of the work that it actually takes.
Yeah, I can go first this time. Because Fred did all the work. It's not fair to ask that question to Fred because Fred was both feet in, up over his head, I'm sure, at times. And so, you know, the general, the interplay between Palau and the local church is that we come and with our team and resources, if you will, and we do a lot of the hands-on actual, you know, getting the things done, the vision, the implementation, if you will, in the churches, et cetera, that's done by local pastors. But it's also, if you show up and start doing things, you care about it. You're going to pray about it more. And so we do, you know, it's just not a check in a box that, hey, we're one of those 300 churches and we'll just show up the weekend of. Well, you get nothing out of that, or very little. But if you show up to all these trainings and events and serve and you're praying together and all that, then you're going to get a lot out of it. And so, we call it choose your own adventure a little bit, but we also encourage a sustainable, healthy involvement with time, energy, and talents.
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's like everything in life. You get out of it what you put into it. For the churches that minimally engaged in all the pre-work and then just showed up and, you know, wanted to be involved when the festival happened, we welcomed them with open arms. We put them on the front of the stage where they wanted to be, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like everyone's welcome to come. But you know, when you go to a potluck and you bring a bag of chips or you bring the, you know, the brisket or tri-tip, you kind of feel like you have different ownership. Mm. So, but everyone's welcome to the potluck. Like we're the church, we're unified. We worked on unity. So it didn't matter what people did ahead of time. We were all going to get to go to the party and we were going to, cause we really want to see people come to Jesus. But the return on investment is enormous. Like Duffy said, I mean, where your treasure is, your heart is. So there was a ton of churches that put in treasure of time, abilities, and money. And that was wonderful. We encourage people to do that, but it's encouragement without judgment. Like people are going to do what they want to do. And I look and think, we have no regrets. Like we feel like we just came out of it with relationships and we came out of it with, you know, friendships. We came out of it with people coming to Jesus. We came out of it with more excitement on evangelism. I mean, we, on every area, we feel like we won. And pastorally, there's pastors that, you know, I kind of knew or said hi to, but you know, like how you doing, but didn't know at all, who I'm close friends with today. Like we just developed, and I think all the rest of the stuff, like our 21 days of prayer and everything else, people may not agree with me, but I would just say they're wrong. All of those things grew and flourished because we had spent a year in the trenches together, fighting for the same thing, lost people to give their lives to Jesus. So we're still enjoying the resulting fruit of our festival. And there's always people that you're running into who are like giving their lives to Jesus, but the genesis of it was they came to the festival or they met Jesus in the festival and then stuff happened and now they're showing up to a church. Like you just don't know kingdom impact, right? But we felt like it was definitely worth it. And we invested, yeah, I mean, on every level we could, as much as we could, and we're excited to do more. But it's kind of like the Luke 19:10, right? The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So we want to join the Son of Man in seeking and saving the lost. And this was a wonderful opportunity. The work was not work when you enjoy it. We enjoy friendships, relationships, and seeing people come to Jesus. We enjoy laying, you know, like Paul says, some people, you know, make the ground ready, some plant the seeds, some water, but God makes it grow. So we considered it an opportunity to do all of those things and then watch God do a miracle.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys for sharing. I think, you know, the idea behind this is, again, as you're thinking down the road, you know, if I'm thinking it's a Saturday, I'm going to do a project on my house, I might get write something I want to get done. If I had 10 people coming over to help, I would create a bigger, I would think of a larger thing to get done. So as you're building unity in the city, your ability to have vision for the city grows, right? So how do you build those meaningful relationships? How do you win with little things so that you could maybe even envision a bigger thing? I think that's all part of the story we heard today. Duffy, your key ideas of timing being right, leadership being right, those seem like key principles. And just the foundation of prayer, Fred, that you spoke about over and over again, groups of people praying all the way back to 2002, right? It's like people started praying, those people praying grew, those people grew in relationship. They also grew in prayer for one another and for over the city, developing that heart for the city. There's just a ton of principles in here. A catalytic event doesn't have to be a Palau branded festival, right? Like that's our example today on the podcast, but catalytic event could just be doing a serve day and offering to pray for people, training people how to pray for somebody and just doing something simple, you know? So we just encourage you guys to think about that. Before we kind of close with Fred, I'll ask you to close us with prayer, but Duffy or Fred, any kind of final words of wisdom, something that you think really ought to be thrown into the conversation before we wrap up?
If you're an individual pastor or marketplace leader, listening to this, oftentimes the Lord is putting this dream, this vision in one person's heart, and it seems to resonate with others, and it kind of goes out from there. And so in your quiet times, the Lord's speaking to you, and you know, your imagination comes alive with what if every person in our city had a gospel presentation given to them in the next 3 years, and how do we go do that? Well, this could be one of those things that helps catalyze that, you know, and just the unity that comes out, and just the culture of evangelism that's, you know, starts with a pastor, starts with a leader. Like, I want to be better at personal evangelism, being bold in my faith. But imagine if that's hundreds of thousands of people in my region who are also called to awaken that in them, then this may be something to continue the conversations.
I would say the right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. So just ask Jesus what the right time is, because it's not the issue of is it a good thing or not. And the key is to pray and to invite God to give you the wisdom and discernment on when is a good time for this. And start with the end in mind. The end is people are going to meet Jesus. If you start with thinking about, can we afford it? Do we have enough volunteers? Where would we do it? On all those things. Yeah, those are all obstacles. But when Jesus calls you to do something, then it's the right thing at the right time. And Jesus provides everything. If we could do it on our own, then we wouldn't need Jesus. And one of my favorite stories is when people always say, well, what happened? Why would they send spies into the land? You know, 10 of them said no. Well, the whole reason the spies went into the land to explore it before the conquest coming out of Egypt was to tell them, you can't do it. There are giants. There are big cities. You can't do it, but I can. That was the whole point, was to come back and say, we can't do it, but God can. And only two people figured it out. So you pray and you say, you know, God, we'd like to see our city grow in this whole passion and everything Duffy just shared. So we need you to do this for us. And tell us the time, and then begin a conversation.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. And again, you know, we're just, as you're thinking through your city and discerning, like you said, it could be the right thing at the wrong time. I think that's a good word, Fred, that's still a wrong thing. Like, what is the thing the Holy Spirit is doing right now? Who are we discerning that with? And what can we say? Well, then let's do it. Let's pull the trigger. Let's go on something that is part of the role of an E-team in a city. We're so excited to have you guys share on this. And then Fred, just maybe if you could close us in prayer, saying a prayer over people who are discerning, you know, Lord, what should we do in our city? And maybe it's this, or maybe it's that, but just let's say a prayer on this. And thank you guys so much for joining.
All right. So Father, we come into your presence because of Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you that you came to seek and to save the lost. And I pray for each person that's watching and this, that you're going to give them wisdom on what you're doing in their city, what the timing is, and what the opportunity is. And I pray that you will give wisdom, discernment, understanding, and unity in the cities. And we pray that the right thing will happen at the right time and the lost people will come to Jesus. Thank you for the Palau team. Thank you for them giving their lives to evangelism and to helping cities like mine and churches like ours grow in evangelism. So I pray a blessing over them as well. And we pray that in city across city in our great country, the name of Jesus will be made known. And we ask for that and we believe for that. And Lord, even though stuff like this looks impossible and big, we know that you are the God of the possible, that when you say go and we go, it always works. So we want to be people that are watching this and are participating, that we just want to say yes when you ask us. So empower us to do that by your Spirit in Jesus' great name. Amen.
What an encouraging conversation. To learn more about the resources shared in this podcast or to download the Adaptable Playbook, check out citygospelmovements.org. And thanks for joining us for this special series on the Adaptable Playbook.